Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. With Wendy taking one of those court-ordered days off, we said, who can we get to replace Wendy? That's impossible, right? Then we thought of hundreds of names, and the name at the top of the list was Harry Tynowitz. Hi, Harry.
Hi, thank you. I'm here because Hard Rock, at the last second, got out of the hospital, so he was able to go on tour with Coco
Hard
and
Rock
Joe.
With Hard Rock, Coco and Joe.
Yes. So instead of that, I get to be here with you, Bill, and what a great start to the weekend.
This should be fun. This should be fun.
And I hope Wendy has learned a valuable lesson.
Yes. We say that every time, and it just keeps happening and happening, doesn't it?
It does.
All right. So much to discuss with you. Let's start out with this. Yesterday during the bonus hour, Harry, of course, you were not here. This was Wendy and myself.
I was nowhere near here.
I don't remember exactly how it happened, but the name Hervé Valachez came up.
He's the guy from Fantasy Island.
Yes. He played the role of Tattoo on Fantasy Island.
And Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah. He was Knick-Knack.
He was Knick-Knack.
In The Man with the Golden Gun.
Yes.
With Christopher Lee. He was Christopher Lee's henchman in The Man with the Golden Gun. So I don't remember exactly what led to it. I think, I could be off by a little bit, but not by much. There was somebody else in a news story we were talking about, and their name was Hervé, and I just naturally went to Hervé Valachez.
I understand.
Somebody said to me, somebody sent me a note, a very nice note, saying, if you're a fan of the work of Hervé Valachez, and I am, and you, we all are.
Sure.
Right? You must be very excited about this movie that they're making about Hervé Valachez. I didn't know such a movie existed. I had no idea that there was any project coming that was about Hervé Valachez. It turns out the great Peter Dinklage will be playing Hervé Valachez in a movie about his life, and it's coming to HBO in a month. So I went from having no idea that this even existed to I wish so badly it was October 20th, because that's when this movie comes on.
Now, Hervé Valachez, didn't he, sad story, didn't he take his own life?
He did take his own life. He did take his own life. Now, here's the interesting part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, Peter Dinklage is getting a lot of criticism for making this movie, because they're saying that he should not play the role of Hervé Valachez. This is a group of people furious that they've cast Peter Dinklage in this role because they say that the role should go to a Filipino actor, that it should not be Peter Dinklage. To which Peter Dinklage says, Hervé Valachez was not Filipino. He was French. End of discussion. Why would they give the role to a... I'm sure if they searched, they could find a very capable Filipino actor to play Hervé Valachez. But if you're doing a role like this... The argument should be get a French guy to play him.
Well, actors do accents and dialects all the time.
Right.
This came up it was a trans issue, I think. I don't remember what the show was. There's this movie being produced.
That's Scarlett Johansson, right?
I don't know what it was, but they're saying, well, this should be played by a trans actor, you know, instead of an actor, a non-trans.
2 weeks ago, Steve, that was the story. Scarlett Johansson was ready to sign a contract to play a role. And people came out and said, no, this is a movie about a transsexual person. It should not go to Scarlett Johansson. And then she backed off. She goes, all right, I'm out then.
Right. And so, and I understand that the representation and the jobs and all of that stuff, there's certainly great value in that. But these are actors.
Right.
They perform people who they are not. You know?
I know. That's why they're actors.
Right.
So when the Soloway sisters came up with transgender, did they say we can only look at actual, actors that have crossed over, that have, made the change?
I think this is a relatively new thing. I remember 2 years ago, Emma Stone was in a movie where she played a character that was, I think, half Asian. I didn't see the movie, so I can't really comment. And all the critics just took shots at her going, this was so... Emma Stone's a great actress, but they said, this is just... Why would she do something like this? And I don't think she did anything. She just took... She auditioned for a part or was given a part, and she took it. That's all.
Right. I mean, they should do that. Every time Keanu Reeves makes a movie, they should do that.
I think Keanu Reeves is part Asian, I believe, isn't he? Or is he Hawaiian? He might be Hawaiian.
I think he's part actor.
Really?
I think he's part Peter Dinklage.
Wow. But I've seen over the years, there have been actors that have taken on roles. I'll tell you a couple that come to mind. John Wayne played Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
That didn't go well. You've seen that, right? That did not go well.
Peter Sellers. Peter Sellers.
Did he play Fu Manchu?
I think he did.
Peter Sellers played Fu Manchu in Murder by Death.
Murder by Death is a great movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Alec Guinness is in it.
How about Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's playing an Asian character? And that, again, was not great.
No
bad words on Mickey Rooney, but that I think that was probably cast poorly, right?
I think he also didn't portray it. Like I think back then he went for the characterization,
right,
as opposed to doing what actors do today, which is, you know, submerge themselves
into the role. Right.
It's totally...
For some reason back then, if not stereotypical, it was certainly in the direction of stereotypical, right?
Right.
So you'd have a hard time pulling that off now, playing the role. If you haven't seen Breakfast at Tiffany's, please rent it and see it and know what I'm talking about, because it's almost offensive. It borders on offensive.
It is offensive.
Yeah.
I'm offended by it.
Yeah.
Some actors have been doing this for years.
Yes. Yes. That's part of the reason you go into acting, is to play roles that are not you.
Right.
I don't know how you would continuously play you in movies. You're going to play, hopefully, a wide spectrum of characters. A couple people want to weigh in on this. Let us start with Allison. Allison, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bill. As a transgender woman, I will tell you that there are trans actors out there who are struggling, and why should a cisgender person play our role?
So if a role comes up and it is the role of the character is transgender, you say automatically the way to go is get an actor who is transgender themselves.
Yes, because you already understand the struggles and every place you've been through, all the trauma and everything you've had to go through to get there. I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't, you know, we have issues playing cisgender roles.
Sure.
At least if there's an issue where you can give us a transgender role, let us play it.
What if there was a better actress available and an actress who would bring in a much larger audience and crowd to tell the story? Would you sacrifice that to have a transgender actor play the role?
No. Why? Well, if it's that important, I can do the role as a transgender, and maybe I could then be elevated. A good example is Alexander Billings. She's from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
She's transparent. She would, you know, she could do the role. There's other actresses out there. I mean, I only know Alexander.
Allison, okay, so Modern Family. On the show, Mitchell and Cameron are two gay men. They are partners. They have kids. And Jesse Tyler Ferguson is gay, but Eric Stonestreet, who plays Cameron, is not. Is that offensive to you?
No, because at least we have a gay actor, a LGBT actor, as part of it.
There is some representation, yes, not full.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is what we're saying. We're not being represented in the community. You know, all we ask for is respect.
Sure, of course.
And we're not being represented because we're not being given the opportunity.
Allison, we appreciate the call. I have to run because we have to get some commercials in, but thanks so much for calling. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, let's do this. More discussion on this and other topics. If you want to jump in either by phone or by text, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Harry. It's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy. She'll be back on Tuesday. Monday's an off day because of the holiday. I was very excited yesterday to learn that they are making a movie, an HBO film, about Hervé Valachez, the life of Hervé Valachez. The movie will be called My Dinner with Hervé. It is starring Peter Dinklage of Game of Thrones and so many great movies. Can't wait to see it. It starts on October the 20th, but there is a controversy, of course. I will read you direct from the Fox News website where they report on the controversy.
Fake news.
Fake. Fake news. Some critics were quick to lambaste Peter Dinklage for whitewashing the role, arguing that HBO should have sought out a Filipino actor who also has dwarfism. Dinklage, however, then reminded everybody that that would be ridiculous.
Because?
Because Hervé Velázquez was not Filipino at all. He was French. So
details.
Yeah, there's always details. So, well, it's taken several different twists and turns, but let's get your thoughts on this. We'll start out with Philip. We were making the argument that if you are an actor, you're an actor because you want to play roles that are not you, right?
And whereas many people have failed miserably, some actors have transformed themselves into people from another country.
Right. Of course, you're talking about the Bridget Jones Diaries movies.
I was thinking Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah, that's a great example.
It's going to be a long morning.
He was Bert the Chimney Sweep.
Yes, he was.
That role should have gone to a British actor.
Yes, it's the master.
Or at least a chimney sweep.
At least a real chimney sweep. Let's talk to Philip. Philip, how are you?
Very good. When you mentioned John Wayne and Mickey Rooney and Peter Sellers taking roles that they didn't just really be suited for, in those days, the production companies, Warner Brothers, whatever, they contracted actors for numbers of movies, not a particular type of movie. So they were contracted to make John Wayne make 20 movies this year.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been all westerns or whatever they might have been, and they had to fulfill that role of numbers of movies. Today, it's done very differently.
Sure. But now, have you seen John Wayne try to portray Genghis Khan? Did you ever see that movie?
No, I did not. But I will say this. One of the classics of all time is the movie Good Earth. And if you look at both those actors, Paul Mooney, mm-hmm. who played the lead role there, he did a tremendous job. You knew it was Paul Mooney,
mm-hmm.
but he did an excellent job, as did the one who played his wife. And I cannot for the life of me remember her name. She's a well-known actress.
Hmm.
Well-known actress. But classic movies of all time have done the same thing with characters. To your point,
yep.
Actors are actors. They play roles that they are not.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. Philip, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Look at The Godfather, which I always consider to be, I use The Godfather as the benchmark of an excellent
movie.
You
tell me Marlon Brando is not Italian?
Marlon Brando is Italian, but James Caan is
right.
not Italian.
No, he's
Jewish.
Not.
Abe Vigoda is Jewish. He's not Italian.
Right.
Played Sal Tascio.
Tom, can you get me out of this for old time's sake?
Just so people know, that was not a clip. That was Harry doing the voice.
But it is also
can't
true.
Can't do it, Sally.
It is also true, though, that you know there are groups that do need a chance to...
No question.
That they're not getting the roles that they are qualified and certainly capable of doing.
Right. There's no question about that. Let's talk to Ryan. Ryan, thank you for hanging on. What are your thoughts on this? Ryan?
Hello. Yeah,
oh, there you are. Hi. What do you think?
The old Charlie Chan movies. Werner Owen, he played Charlie Chan.
He was not Chinese, Asian.
He's American.
Right.
And Mr. Moto was Peter Lorre.
Oh, right. That's absolutely right.
They were totally non-Asian.
So do you think that was more accepted then? I don't remember there being an uproar. I mean, I know we've come a long way, but is it good or is it bad if they're casting out a big net whenever they're casting a role, or is it not?
See,
what do you think?
Back then, I didn't care. I mean, the movies were good. I liked the movies, and they were fine. I just figured, like you said, people playing roles is what they do.
Yeah.
But nowadays, we're so politically correct, you've got to be that. To do that.
Yep.
That's not right.
Hasn't Scarlett Johansson like passed Julia Roberts? She's the number one female box office draw.
For this year, for 2018, she made more money than any other actress.
Right.
Scarlett Johansson.
I mean, that could be the motivation of the people making the movie.
To sell tickets.
Yeah. She might not be the best actress for this role, but let's go ahead and sell a bunch of tickets.
Right. Ryan, when the day started, I didn't think anyone would bring up the names Charlie Chan or Mr. Moto, but you proved me wrong. Thank you for doing that.
I love those movies.
Me too.
I watch them all the time.
They used to be
number
on...
Number one son, number two son.
Yeah. Key Luke, I believe, was the actor who played number one son, wasn't he?
Key Luke was in every episode of Kung Fu.
And I don't know.
Yeah, he was.
Those guys were actual Asians. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Now, Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
when that was made of Commander Von Trapp.
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer. Okay.
Yes.
He's not, well, Austrian.
He's not Austrian.
Well, I will say, too, that I don't think the Nazis were Nazis.
No, they were not actual Nazis, Steve.
No, but turns out Kevin Spacey.
Careful. He's not a Nazi. He's got problems, but being a Nazi is not one of those problems, thankfully. Thankfully. But look at, like, all the shows that are on now that have a specific direction in terms of either race or religion. So right now we have a show on called Off the Boat that is about an Asian
yes.
family. We have Blackish that's about
right.
an African-American family. We've got The Goldbergs that's about a Jewish family. I'm positive that in most of those cases they don't say we can only bring in Jewish actors to audition for The
right.
Goldbergs. They wouldn't do that.
You want the best actors. You want
right.
the funniest. If it's a comedy, you want the funniest people.
Right. Right.
Right?
Right.
Bill, aren't you up for the Vladimir Putin role?
Yes. It's not something I want to talk about until
okay.
I get it for sure. But October 20th is the date. If you're a Hervé Velichez fan, everyone's a Hervé Velichez fan, October 20th will be the day that you can watch this movie, My Dinner with Hervé, starring Peter Dinklage, who I've never seen anything.
I love the title, by the way. Very clever.
Obviously, a takeoff on My
yeah.
Dinner with Andre.
Brilliant.
Very, very funny. What's the movie? He's in a movie, Peter Dinklage, and I want to say it's called...
Trainspotting.
No, he's not in Trainspotting, Harry. He is not in Trainspotting. Although, trains do play into it. Is it called The Station Agent? Does that sound right?
That's exactly
oh, yeah,
it. The Station Agent.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever saw Peter Dinklage, and... You know how every once in a while an actor or an actress will come along where you have no idea who they are or what they're capable of, and you see them in a role and you just go, why don't I know about this guy?
Right.
He was amazing in that movie.
I felt the same way about American Graffiti. And I thought that Paul LaMatte. I thought
yes.
Paul LaMatte was going to become like one of the next great American actors. And like I think he made two movies after that.
What happened there?
I have no idea. He was great in that.
Yep. Yep. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Left. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will return on Tuesday. That's when I'll return, too. We're all taking Monday off. Jasmine, do we know who's filling in for us on Monday?
I don't know. That is a good question.
It's a secret. Tune in on Monday. Secret host day.
I'll be here with Tony Tennille.
You and Tony Tennille is an interesting show. I would listen to that show.
The Kreplock and Tennille, we call ourselves.
It's a great name.
Thank you.
Very catchy name.
Thank you.
Harry, you wanted to talk about parenting.
I do.
And what better time? It's parenting season.
It is parenting season.
This is perfect timing.
You know, Bill, you and Terry have two beautiful daughters.
And one hideous one.
Yeah, we can't talk about her.
Don't want to talk about it.
We have two kids that are my wife, still technically my wife at this point. Wendy and I have Wendy and I have two children that are so wonderful when they want to be.
Oh, congratulations.
But here in my hands.
Yes.
I've got, you know, you ever like go to a restaurant or a friend's barbecue and you meet people there with kids?
Of course.
And you say, why are they parents?
Oh, that's happened, yeah.
Right. So here what we have here, and this is not a bit, these are 14 signs that you're finally ready to become a parent.
This is valuable information.
Yes, valuable.
Because a lot of people are probably wondering right now, is it time for me to be a parent or not? This is great.
Right. So the number one thing they want you to realize is, are you doing it for the right reasons?
Mm.
Do you feel like you and Terry did it for the right reasons?
Oh, yeah. We so desperately wanted children. And it was,
so you just went and took some.
Yeah, we went to a mall, and there were some kids, and now they're ours. No, you know what happened was, I don't remember... All right, so I was a kid, so I wouldn't have been involved in these conversations.
Right.
But it seemed like when I was a kid, almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody, if they wanted kids, just had kids. But then I learned, it's not always easy. I mean, we went through fertility. It finally paid off.
Right, and I know people that, have gone through fertility, which is very expensive, I'm told.
It's not only, it is. It's very, very expensive. But when it doesn't take... It's morally crushing.
It's emotionally draining.
It really is, sure.
And then you hear about like some 17-year-old who's pregnant.
Yeah.
And they're going to have something that, you and your wife, you and your spouse would just, absolutely love
sure.
to, be a part of. So,
yeah.
So you're doing it. So we have a family in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Some very people that were very close to us. They had three older kids. And then they had a daughter 10 years later,
mm-hmm.
and so then they had a son. So like the daughter would have like a companion.
Oh, that's interesting, and yeah. it worked out well. Everybody's happy with that.
Yes. Still very, very good friends with that son. So you're doing it for the right reasons.
I always like when parents have. Like, there's a gap. Like, they'll have mm-hmm. one or two or three kids, and then there'll be a 10 or 11 or 12-year gap, and then they'll say in front of that child, you're our little oops baby. And yeah. and that yeah. isn't that adorable?
You were a mistake.
Yeah. If that's the case, I would do my best to not tell the child right. that.
Cue the men at work.
Right. It's a mistake.
Yeah. So sign number two is, are you responsible? If you can take care of yourself, mm-hmm. you're ready to be a parent.
Well, I'm no expert, of course, but I think you almost don't know that. Something kicks in when you have kids. There's some instinct that kicks in. Like, I can't tell you how amazed I was at myself and how protective I became. Like, I never thought about little things like just the simple act of crossing a street if there's traffic anywhere nearby. I went into this mode of just ultra protective, even though there was a car a mile and a half down the road. I'd hold my arms out to make sure that nothing bad could possibly happen.
Carrying your baby like a football?
Yes.
Both arms wrapped yes. around it, clenched yes. tight.
Constantly.
Yeah, you know, I see, for me, you know, am I responsible? Do I know how to take care of myself? No. But I wasn't taking care. I did a horrible job of taking care of myself, but my kids,
right.
you know, that's different.
Didn't you, like, once you had a child or two, didn't you go, now it's real? Everything else was semi-real, but now I really have to pay attention and be very, very careful at all times.
Yes, at all
no
times.
No downtime.
At all times. And I have to remember not to jump up and down while watching the Bears games
yep.
because my baby could be asleep,
right.
you know, 6 inches from where I am.
Right.
It was, you know, I think like if I had waited till I was responsible, I still wanted to have kids, you know? So this is kind of interesting. All right. Three, are you emotionally prepared?
That's probably a tougher one for most people to answer than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause I felt I was now like my wife and I, you guys were a little bit older than most people are. Not dramatically older.
Mm-hmm.
Not Tony Randall older.
Well, my wife is 10 years younger than me.
Yes. Right.
So I was older.
You were a little bit older.
Right.
But didn't you think, like, I thought at the time when our daughters were born, this is perfect for me. I mean, I was a young married person for enough years to where I went, I'm so emotionally ready now. And my wife was the same way.
How long were you married before you had your kids?
Oh, boy. Was it 7 years or 8 years? 7 or 8 years.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
You know, do you know a lot of people get married, I think, just to have kids?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Who are their names? Do you have a list of their names?
I do.
Let's read their names.
I
off.
Have them right here.
All right, read them off.
Okay, let's start. This one is
no, don't do that.
Steve
There's no
Bertrand.
Time. There's no time. Oh, okay, don't mention Steve's name. No.
All right. Four, you're physically ready.
I'm not sure what that means.
I think, like, you're healthy, you're in shape, you know, you're going to be running around. Having kids, there was a day, I used to take my daughter for walks, and,
yeah.
and you know, we lived, like, in Wrigleyville, and she would go at the rate of, like, 3 miles per hour.
Yes.
And we lived on Kenmore with a bunch of brownstones, and she'd go up every brownstone slowly, and then down every brownstone
right.
slowly. And one day, we came out of, we did this for, like, you know, 2 years, and then one day, she came out of the house, and she was like Usain Bolt, and she just went tearing down Kenmore.
Yeah.
And I had to go, like, you know, as hard as I could to try to catch up to her.
It's a physical workout.
Yeah, it's a physical.
Spending time.
You're with her. You invest a lot of time with your kid. You got to
yes.
be physically ready.
Sure. And a lot of people don't think that it's that. How can it be that different? It's just a little person, easy to catch, easy to stop. Especially if you have more than one. Yeah. My heart always goes out to people that have a lot of kids, because our goal was always to not be outnumbered. You know, my wife and I, there's two of us. We said two kids. It's an even playing field.
Right.
As soon as you get to 3 or 4 or 5, it's impossible.
Well, they say you got to play a zone.
Right. Play the zone defense with your children.
All right. This is a key one. You're ready for sleep deprivation.
Boy, is that one true. That's the truest one.
You'll say people have a baby now, and like, what can you tell me? Well, you'll sleep at about 18 years.
When Reese and Kylie were born, I was doing morning. Wendy and I were doing mornings together at Q101. And when you do the morning show, you tend to get up at like 3 a.m.,
yeah.
right? So we have twins. They were on different schedules. I'm not exaggerating. I was averaging, I did this for almost a year, 2.5 hours of sleep a night. And people would go, that's impossible. You can't survive on 2.5 hours of sleep.
And I remember, because I had always heard, you know, before you guys had them, that twins get on the same schedule.
That's a rumor. I mean, it happens eventually, but when they're in high school or college or something, because they were...
We're both going to go to high school in the morning.
They were sleeping on shifts. That's the first thing as babies, you know, they always talk about twin telepathy. They just did that mind meld thing where they went, how about you sleep for 4 hours? I'll sleep for 3 hours. You sleep for an hour. I'll sleep for 3 hours.
Are your daughters Vulcans?
Yeah, they're both half Vulcan, yeah.
That's the mind meld thing.
But that's a tough one because everyone always goes, you sleep when you can. And way harder, I'm going to admit this, way harder on my wife, or I would say most moms than on the dads. It has to be.
Yes, yes.
Way harder.
Not to, like, assume gender roles.
Right.
Yes.
In this case, way harder.
By the way, I'm taking all this, I'm trying to not pronounce the author's, the person who did the research on this and put this story together. I don't want to mispronounce the last name. It's written by Tanit Shengrun-Rusanskris.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Scrizy.
Spelled the traditional way, Harry?
Yes. C-H-A-N-R-U-N-G-R-U-E-A-N-G.
No, don't do all of it. We'll run out of time.
S-R-I. The person has to be a field goal kicker. Okay, this is one tough one. You're able to handle the not-so-nice side of parenting. What I always heard from my wife was, hey, you're their parent. You're not their friend.
Yeah.
You know, bring the hammer down.
That's a tough one for me. We have John Duffy in, Dr. John Duffy, mm-hmm. every other week, mm-hmm. On Wednesdays.
Is he one of your twins?
He is not one of my twins, no. But he's a doctor who deals with this sort of thing. And I said, forever I heard that you cannot be your child's friend. I said, I'm not their friend in the traditional way of something, you know, something's happening at school, who's the first person I talk to. I'm not that kind of friend. But I do consider both my kids to be friends. Among my best friends, there's no one I'd rather spend time with anywhere than my wife and my two daughters.
But when they do something that you deem, you know, irresponsible,
I pretend not
or
to know
wrong.
Them. I have no idea who they are.
So you make Terry the heavy?
No.
Can you discipline them? Can you? Because, like, you know, my wife would be like, you know, you're grounded for a year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, but can the grounding start tomorrow? Because she's going to her friend's party tonight.
Right. You have to. There's always an element of what they call good cop, bad cop. There's always a slight element of good cop, bad cop in parenting, right? There has to be.
Yeah.
But honestly, I know that every doctor tells you should not be your child's friend. But sometimes, like, one of the girls and I will just go and do something. You know, we'll go and hang out somewhere. And when it's done, I'm like, how can that be my own child? That was so much fun. I had such a great time, you know?
Okay, here you go. This is number 10 on the
list. Wait, let's take a break, and then we'll get to more of these.
Okay.
All right, so what are these called exactly here? What's the official title of this?
These are 14 signs you're finally ready to become a parent.
All right. We hope this is helping anybody who's right on the cusp. Yes, we'll continue this.
And then tying into this,
yes.
There's a Kentucky Fried Chicken story. Let us know if you're ready to become a parent.
I know there is. All right, all that's ahead. It's Bill and it's Harry in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry sitting in for Wendy, who will return on Tuesday. Both she and I will return on Tuesday. We're taking Monday off for the holiday. Thank you so much for listening. Harry, doing a public service, helping people who might or might not be considering being parents. What is this list referring to exactly here?
Tanit Shanrungarunsky.
Now you're just saying noises now.
Yes, has written a story. She's got a list of 14 signs you're finally ready to become a parent. And, mm-hmm. and we're looking at the ones we think are the most prevalent of these. This is the 10th one on the list. You can handle unsolicited advice. And Tanit says, everyone receives unsolicited and unwanted advice from time to time, sometimes from people that have been parents for a long time, sometimes from people without kids.
Right.
Don't you love that when people without kids tell you how to be with your kids? Hey, sure. You know what you should do?
Sure.
My brother Danny is awesome. I mean, he's like the best uncle, and he cares so much about the kids. He never got married.
Yeah.
And like the kids will be running around, he'll take his, you know, want to take a picture of them. He'll go, okay, kids, hold right there. No, wait, go back to the pose when you were both on the couch.
Yeah.
They're little kids, Danny. They're not going to do that. Just take a picture. Take 10 pictures. One will be good.
But at some point, I'm sure you made this realization. I know I did. Is that every kid is different and every parent is different. And just because something worked for you, that's no guarantee at all it's going to work for anyone else.
Right. And people are like, oh, what time do you put your kid to bed? Oh, that's way too late. Right. Oh, that's way too early.
Right. Right. We have friends who, when the kids were little, our kids were little at about the same time. So they had their kids on a schedule, and for no reason ever, under any circumstances, would they vary from that schedule. Like with Reese and Kylie, there were nights, more times than not, they went to bed around 7:30, but not always. Sometimes it was a little earlier. Normally it was a little later. We eat out a lot, so they'd come out to a restaurant with us. Aww. They'd end up going to bed at 9:30, you know? And parents would go, oh, you can't do that to kids. Kids have to go to bed at the exact same time every day.
It would take them a couple hours to wash all the dishes.
Right, right. We're not going to pay for the meal. Kids work in the kitchen, we eat for free.
Good setup.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think if you ask, you know, if somebody asks you, then you give advice.
If somebody asks you, but look at me, who's going to ask me for parenting advice? That's not going to happen.
You'd be surprised.
I would be surprised.
Okay, this is interesting, because I don't believe you did this.
Huh.
You've done the pet test.
What is the pet test?
The pet test is, it's an old school method, but it's tried and true. Before you have a child, get a pet, even a goldfish. And if you can keep that pet alive, then you move on to a cat or a dog. Being responsible for an animal's meals, supervision, health care, and happiness can give you a glimpse of what it's like to take care of a child. If you successfully parent your fur baby, you might be ready for a human baby.
Now, do you know, I'm not making this up, this is actual fact, that for quite a while, my dad had a monkey. Do you know this?
Wait a minute. Marty had a monkey?
Yeah, he had a monkey.
He did not have a monkey.
Yeah, he did.
How do I not know that?
It's not something I'm proud of. And his story was, if people would ask him, in his apartment. I say as though that was ridiculous. Where else would his monkey live?
Wouldn't he make a mess of the place?
Yeah. The quick answer. Now, this is before I was born, but he said his reasoning for having a monkey was to see if at some point he could handle a child. But, you know.
Really?
And he got a kid that ends up, I look kind of like a monkey, so everybody's happy.
Yes, and your favorite song is Daydream Believer.
Love it, by the Monkees.
Right. I've heard of the egg test.
Well, I don't know the egg test.
You give, Jasmine, you know the egg test. You give somebody who wants to become a parent a raw egg. And if in a week they can give you that same raw egg back and it is uncracked, then they're ready to have a kid.
But I would make the argument that having an egg with you for a week and having a baby with you for a week is dramatically different.
How so?
No, you can't make a baby into an omelet. It's obvious. Come on, Harry. But
I can have little chives, some cheddar.
Well, all right.
Some Smirnoff.
Right. There's variations. But I would think, and here I am arguing that a guy should have a monkey. Yeah. Watch this argument. Yeah. I'll talk myself out of it while I'm in it. I could see where having a monkey for an extended length of time, I'm now thinking about the person that just turned on the radio as I'm saying that, going, this is interesting. You could make the argument that having a monkey for a while would kind of show that you have the responsible attitude that it would take to have a child. I'm not sure having an egg for a week, is it? Is that the same?
Yeah, but I mean, an egg, a monkey is like on its own, can take care of itself.
Mm.
Like if you set the egg down.
Mm, you can't go away. Like if you have a monkey.
Yes.
You can't say, I'll be back a week from Tuesday and leave the monkey in the house.
Right. 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 Whereas with an egg.
You could.
Yeah, the egg might be a little upset, but the egg will get over it.
Sure.
But here's the thing, Bill, okay?
Yes.
The monkey knows when it's thirsty. It knows how to get its drink.
Right.
You know, and of course, you're not feeding an egg.
No.
But like, I can see, like, the dog and the cat, you know, like, you get them as, you know, dad have the monkey when it was a little baby monkey? What do we call a puppy monkey, a kitty monkey?
Small monkey, just small a young monkey. Yeah.
Young monkey.
I don't know the age of the
monkey.
Daddy's
monkey?
Any time he would discuss it, I would leave. I was too embarrassed for him, so I would just leave.
But, I mean, I would think that that's a much better... So you would have probably 8 out of 10 people say, you know what? He had a monkey that he took care of for,
right.
for 2 years. He could certainly take care of a kid.
Right.
And then you have other people. The other two people would say, he had a monkey for 2 years. He's a nut job. He should not have any kids.
Right.
One of them's going to start a band and have 72 lead singers.
I know.
Yeah.
Boy, the fight he had with my mom when he wanted to name me Chim Chim. That's not something I don't even want to. I'm not even going to discuss this. Let's
do this. I almost wore my Speed Racer shirt.
We'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up in just a little bit. And then Alexander Zalbin joins us from The Decider. Some strange things have happened in the world of television over the last week. We'll discuss those with you next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's sitting in for Wendy. Both Harry and I will return. Both Wendy and I will return on Tuesday. Alexander Zalbin is our guest right now. Alexander serves as managing editor for TheDecider.com. Go to Decider.com, a great website if you like entertainment news, television news. Alex, thanks for being here. Everything good?
Yeah, it's great. Excited to start a nice long weekend.
Yeah, it should be a good long weekend. Let me share something with you that Harry and I were talking about before we got John, and I'd love your comments, your thoughts on this. We lost two giants this week in Aretha Franklin and John McCain, and they've gotten a lot of media attention and well-deserved, of course. But Neil Simon, the playwright and the man whose work is responsible for some of the greatest sitcoms in TV history, also passed away. He's not getting much attention. Would you agree with Harry and my assessment that without Neil Simon and some of his work, most notably The Odd Couple, but there's other choices, TV would be a lot poorer without him, wouldn't it have been?
100%. You know, I think everybody's first instinct nowadays when somebody passes away is to jump onto Twitter and put out a tweet. And frankly, I was kind of struggling with how exactly you encompass somebody like Neil Simon into 280 characters. But I think you're absolutely correct. You know, you look at The Odd Couple, he wasn't the first person to invent that dichotomy of the sloppy dude and the clean dude clashing in a small space, but that set the tone and the template for decades of comedy afterwards. You know, to give a more recent example, I don't know if you guys have seen Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, which is absolutely a wonderful show, but you would not have that show, which is now one of the most award-winning shows on television, without Neil Simon. There's so many things like that that you can just see his influence trickling down over the years. He's phenomenal and definitely missed.
Alexander, I get into discussions with my friends about, you know, shows that they think are just like so well done that I think people only watch it because The Rock is on there. Do you have a thought on HBO's popular Sunday night show, Ballers?
You know, it's funny, we talk about Ballers sometimes around the office because it's one of those shows that gets lost in the critical conversation. I think most TV critics kind of forget it's on the air, particularly in comparison to Insecure, which shares the time slot and people do talk about quite a bit. But people love it. You know, that is one of those shows that I think actually is a water cooler show, where literally I'll be walking around the office and I'll hear people talking about, hey, did you watch Ballers last night? Oh, that was so funny that happened on Ballers. So I think you're right that people watch it for The Rock. It's certainly gotten better over the years. But at the same time, it's one of those shows that you can turn it on, you can enjoy, you can laugh, and then you're done with it after half an hour, versus a lot of other critically acclaimed shows that you're going to spend a little more time talking and thinking about.
That was a huge show in England, right? There's a British version of it, right? An original British version of Ballers. Am I imagining that?
Is there?
I thought there was.
It is. I didn't actually necessarily know that fact.
I thought there was.
I feel like that would be called Footballers or something like that.
Something like that.
I know we steal a lot of their shows, right?
Yes, we do.
The Office, Extras, right?
All in the Family, Sanford and Son.
Right.
I think it was the original one, though. Yeah.
One other quick thing about Neil Simon, before I forget. As in my mind, there were three different versions of The Odd Couple. There was the traditional one that everybody knows with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall, but there was also an all-female version of it with Sally Struthers and Rita Moreno, and there was an all-African-American version of it with Ron Glass from Barney Miller and Tim Reed from WKRP.
Right.
I don't remember any other show ever going through those many incarnations.
And they rebooted it again with Matthew Perry.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Thomas Lennon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So four versions.
You know, I'd call out, I don't know if this is your guys' experience, I know you have comedy backgrounds as well, but I saw right after he passed away a lot of female comedians in particular saying that the female version of The Odd Couple, it was something that colleges picked up a lot, and it was something that really helped them get their start and feel their chops in comedy to be able to be on the same level as male comedians, being able to work on essentially the same words, but it gave them a lot of inspiration. So in that alone, I think that's pretty fantastic.
Interesting.
Too.
Yeah, very fantastic. This was a surprise as far as I'm concerned. You tell me, over on Shameless, one of the leads is leaving the show. Emmy Rossum is going away, huh?
This was a huge shocker, particularly because it's not like Shameless is a workplace comedy. You know, it isn't people coming and going all the time. It's about a family. Emmy Rossum is a key member of the family. She's a key member of the show. She's directed episodes. She's really pushed it forward behind the camera, pushing for pay parity. People love her on that show. But she felt like after nine seasons, she's good. You know, she is good with the show. She wanted to leave while she was on top. It doesn't seem like they're going to be killing her off or anything like that. The network and everybody behind the scenes is very open about she is always welcome back whenever she wants to come on the show. But ultimately, she's been on it for 9 years, excuse me, and she wants to pursue film work, and everybody's very supportive of that.
Okay, the new TV season is upon us. A lot of shows have already debuted, and some more are coming. And tonight, I remember when he was just the funny dude on The Office. Now John Krasinski is an action star. He's going to be, and I think he'll be better than Tom Cruise, playing Jack Ryan. What can you tell us about this Amazon show?
Yeah, the whole series is actually online now on Prime Video. So if you have a Prime Video account on Amazon, you can check out the whole run of the show. This is a younger Jack Ryan than Ben Affleck, if you remember when he did that, but also Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, even Chris Pine, excuse me, has played a version of Jack Ryan. So this takes him back to when he's just a young CIA analyst and then slowly starting to work in the field. I will say a bunch of our folks here at Decider have watched multiple episodes of the show already. We weren't in love with the pilot. It's a little slow and a little by the numbers, but one of our writers, Josh Sarkatch, watched ahead, and he says it really does start to pick up and get a lot more fun as it goes on. So if you're looking for a good spy caper, and particularly if you want to see somebody, you know, imagine it's a very weird episode of The Office, go check out Jack Ryan.
The production values have got to be fairly high. I've only seen clips of it. I haven't seen the pilot, but if you follow the novels or the movies, there's a lot going on. It's got to be a pretty expensive mm-hmm. show to make, right?
There, this is not a spoiler at all, but there is a scene in the first episode where they're at an enormous outdoor party. It's, you know, sort of a big mansion, and everybody's just milling around, and they're having serious dramatic scenes. And then for no conceivable reason, a helicopter lands, picks up John Krasinski, and leaves. And we were just talking about, this is the sort of show that is like, sure, just throw a helicopter in there. Why not? But Amazon is all in on it. They've actually already greenlit a second season of the show. So particularly if you're hesitant about getting into something new, just know there's going to be a lot more Jack Ryan to come.
That sounds like the way that they made James Bond movies. Let's just put a let's just have a helicopter pick them up while they're in the wedding tuxedos.
Right.
And let's see, where do we film this scene? Well, what country have we not filmed in yet?
let's go there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a big international production as well. There's an enormous cast beyond John Krasinski in it. And like you said, there's a lot of big action sequences, a lot of traveling around. But it also, per the source material, really gets into the nitty-gritty of what it means to be a CIA analyst. So it's not just James Bond sleeping with a bunch of women and shooting up people, and that's pretty much it. It does treat it in a very serious manner, what it actually means to be a spy.
Why do you think this is one of those characters, Jack Ryan, that, as we mentioned, has been played by several different actors in not that big of a span of time? James Bond movies have been made for almost 50 years, if not 50 years, so I understand the turnover there, but why is there so much turnover playing Jack Ryan? Is there a reason?
I think it's just different people making the movies more than anything. It felt like for a little while there that Harrison Ford was going to be the definitive Jack Ryan, and they did make a couple of movies with him.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, as far as I understand it, the way that Tom Clancy is doles out the rights to the books. It just is whoever wants to make them. You know, it's not literally whoever, but it's a filmmaker has an idea for Hunt for Red October. They go in that direction. Filmmaker has an idea for Clear and Present Danger. They go in that direction. The Chris Pine thing was very clearly supposed to be a reboot to start it off and make a James Bond series, but nobody was interested. So instead, now it's going to TV, and you got John Krasinski. It's a little more like a Spider-Man thing, I guess, with the Spider-Man movies versus, say, James Bond. But hopefully this will be the one that sticks.
So we'll get to Danny DeVito eventually, right? It's not yet, but at some point.
100%. He'll be the 50th reboot of Jack Ryan.
That'll be fun. Alexander Zalbin is our guest, managing editor over at Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Bill left. It's Harry Tynowitz. Wendy heads the day off. She'll be back on Tuesday. Both she and I will be off on Monday for the holiday, but we will be back on Tuesday. Alexander Zalbin is our guest right now, managing editor over at Decider.com, a great website if you like anything about television or entertainment. Alex, the show opened by me telling a story about Peter Dinklage playing Hervé Valachez, who we all know as Tattoo from Fantasy Island. There was some controversy because people were upset that they cast an actor who was not Filipino, to which Peter Dinklage said, yeah, here's the problem with that. Hervé Valachez was not Filipino. I'm French.
Right.
Harry and I were both going through a litany of actors and actresses who have played against type. This happens on television all the time. There'll be somebody of a certain persuasion or a certain nationality, but the producers have to try to balance that with finding an actor that's bankable, right? How does that play out usually?
I mean, I think you're exactly right. It just has gotten more complicated recently, and I would even point to in the past year or so when people are more hyper aware of whitewashing controversies. You know, you can look to films for this a lot more, but particularly there's been a lot of white actors who have been cast in Asian roles. The go-to joke now is, oh, do you have an Asian role? We'll put Scarlett Johansson in that.
Right.
So that's something that people are very drilled down on and very focused on. So when something like this HBO film with Peter Dinklage happens, people do immediately react. I dug into it just on a very surface level. I'm not 100% sure who is correct here, Peter Dinklage or everybody else on the internet. But regardless, you know, ultimately, I think you're right. It is up to the movie studio. They do want to make money off of these things. But the argument, on the other hand, is if you have a property that people are interested in seeing that is well done, that people will see it with almost anybody in it. And you can point to something like Crazy Rich Asians, which is a phenomenon right now, which has recognizable stars in it, but other than Michelle Yeoh, who is internationally an enormous star in the United States, it doesn't really have anybody that is a huge name, but still, it's dominating the box office. People are going to see it. So I think that does point to a big sea change.
Yeah. Is it Ronnie Chang, the guy from, am I saying it properly, the guy who's on Daily Show, who's in Crazy Rich Asians? He's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's Ken Jeong is in it. A lot of people know him from his TV work. There's also Constant Wu, who's also fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other people that show up in there. And plus, John M. Chu, who's the director of the movie, has directed some huge hits as well. He directed a bunch of the Step Up movies, which did phenomenally, and other things. So it's not like there's nobody is in the cast. But at the same time, it's better than if they said, well, to make Chris or Crazy Rich Asians succeed, we got to get Scarlett Johansson. And in fact, a lot of movie studios said exactly that when they were shopping it around, and then they would immediately turn them down. Turns out they were completely right to do so.
Have you seen the clips at all for this movie? It's going to be out in October on HBO. It's called My Dinner with Hervé. Have you seen any of the clips, the trailers for it yet?
I've watched the trailer, and it does look really interesting. Peter Dinklage is fantastic, and Jamie Dornan has surprisingly pushed past the 50 Shades series to be a really interesting actor, so it should be a good movie to check out.
Okay, there's a reboot of a reboot without the star of the show. Did John Goodman spoil the Connors, what used to be called the Roseanne show? Did he give away like the fact that Roseanne dies?
That is a very good question. I'll tell you, I have a whole, what do you call it, a murder board, like thread board, sort of parsing his whole quote that he gave the other day. They actually started shooting it just today. They sent out the first picture of the table read on the set. So the cast is there, except for Roseanne, of course, who is not in it anymore. And he had come out and said a couple of days ago when somebody asked what is going to be like for Dan, his character, going forward, and he said, I don't know, I guess he's going to be sad because his wife is dead. The thing that's tricky about it is the way that he said it is he said it like that, but you could also look at it as him speculating potentially, because we don't obviously hear his tone in articles or anything like that. That all said, I feel pretty confident that whether he was speaking out of turn or not, that Roseanne is dead on the show. We had a whole brainstorming session here at Decider to try to figure out how she died on the show. You know, did she send a racist tweet and then got trampled going up to Trump Tower? Did a MAGA hat squeeze her head too hard? Things like that. So there's a lot of possibilities. I think they'll do something a little more serious, but it should be very interesting to see how it plays out on the show.
They had her, if I remember right, in the last episode, she was about to go into the hospital for knee surgery, right? So there could be complications. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the age-old hysterical premise of dying during knee surgery.
A separate piece.
Yeah, that's how a separate piece ended.
Now I've spoiled it.
No, Harry, thanks for nothing. So if you're John Goodman, you could throw something out there because you know people are going to talk about it, right? I mean, that's an option too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think he necessarily has a reason to lie about it, and I don't think anybody has illusions about, like, there's going to be this grand season-long arc mystery of where's Roseanne, what's happening with Roseanne. I think they'll just get it out in the first couple of minutes, talk about the fact, well, she died during knee surgery.
Yeah, and move on.
And then figure out as a family how they move on from there.
Yep.
Can I ask you real quick, Alexander, there's a couple of other reboots. Which will be more fun to watch, Murphy Brown with the entire regular cast returning, or the new Magnum P.I., which they should have called Not Tom Selleck?
Hmm.
Well, I'm angry at the new Magnum P.I. because he doesn't have the mustache, so I think we can discount that immediately. But I will say Murphy Brown sounds really fascinating to me. If you guys don't, anybody listening doesn't know the new premise, it picks up with the same cast years later. She is, as usual, a very liberal pundit trying to deal with modern news world, and her son is now an anchor at the more conservative-leaning Wolf Network, so they're going to clash that way. So it should be very current and very pointed and really interesting to watch.
Let me pitch an idea to you. You just reminded me of something. I think this would be a great show. It's called Magnum's Mustache, and it's just his mustache driving around in a car solving crimes. Would that be a good show?
100%. As long as you call it Mustache Rides, I think.
Yeah, now we got a show. I love that.
You just did. Is this show that
right,
looks
too late?
Is this show that looks like a ripoff of Lost? Is it a ripoff of Lost?
There's a couple of shows that are kind of ripoffs of Lost running right now. There's a comedy called Wrecked, and there's another one that's a reality show, which is very specifically. I'm blanking on the name.
No, not the reality show. The Wrecked.
Yeah, that's a very late Lost parody, but it's surprisingly funny. I recommend people check it out, particularly if they thought it was a late parody like I did. But turns out, good cast, funny stuff, and it's a fun little comedy.
One other quick question before we let you go, Alex. There's a movie series called The Purge, a horror film series. It's been going on for a while. Now there's a TV version of it that's almost the same thing, right?
It is exactly the same thing. For those who don't know the concept because they're too scared of horror movies like me, the idea is that for 12 hours one day, once a year, every crime is legal in America, including murder. So people go out, they settle their grudges, they rob stores, everything. So this is going to be a 10-episode series on USA. It's going to be simulcast on Sci-Fi, and it's debuting on September 4th, so next week. I'll tell you, I've seen the first three episodes, having never seen a Purge movie, and I watched the first episode and said, oh, this is so stupid. And then hit play on the second episode and said, oh, this is so stupid. And then hit play on the third episode. I just kept going from there. Now I want to go back and watch the movies. It's completely ridiculous.
Wow.
Completely over the top, but just a lot of fun and not actually scary, which, again, as a horror weenie, I appreciate it a lot.
Excellent. Excellent. Always fun to talk to you, Alex. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for all the information.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great weekend as well.
That's Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. That's the website to visit, Decider.com. It's right there on your internet. We'll take a quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Harry on WGN. Harry, that sounds like one of those White Sox sounders that we hear about.
Right before.
Right. So what normally happens is when you hear something like that White Sox sounder, you would be calling this station at 312-981-7200. I'd be caller number 5.
Caller 5, number of Ray Durham.
Yeah, Ray Durham's number. Very nice.
Yes.
So if you are caller 5 in a situation like this at 312-981-7200, you win a pretty nice prize, don't you?
Oh, yes, you do. Who's the best player in all of baseball? Many people say it's Mike Trout. How about 4 tickets to next Friday's game? White Sox host the Los Angeles Angels. It's a night game, which means it starts at 7:10. Keep listening for that sounder. It's your cue to call in to win seats to the Sox all regular season long. You get one pack of 4 tickets for next Friday's game, September 7th at 7:10 p.m. Tickets will be mailed out to our winner. And, of course, Friday nights means fireworks.
Mm-hmm. That's very convincing. You could do sports radio, I bet.
I don't think
you don't
so.
You don't see it? All right.
Don't think so.
Like I said, caller number 5 right now, 312-981-7200. If you are caller number 5, you will win. Look how quickly this happened. Joanne from Burbank, you are caller number 5.
Oh, that's where the Tonight Show is filmed.
I think that's a different Burbank. A different Burbank. Joanne, congratulations. You're going to see the White Sox play the California Angels. Should be a good game. Do we have that final score yet, Harry? Do we know the final score?
Yes, the Sox lead 6-0 in that game,
that's
but they
game.
Lose. They lose 8-7.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
But how about the pitching, man? Giolito was great again last night. Lucas Giolito is the real deal.
Yeah. Sometimes I think, though, that a 4-run lead late in the game might not be enough. Sometimes. Not always.
People say it's the year of the Red Sox, but yes. I like the Indians where they're sitting.
Looking good. They're looking good. I agree with you. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what happened last night. This is great. Every once in a while, there will be a product. Now, I'm talking primarily about food or drink products that I taste and I say to myself, oh, do I like this? I love this. And as soon as I say that, the company that makes it, Harry, decides to stop making it.
That's terrible.
I call it the Jell-O 1-2-3 principle. When you were a kid, did you ever have something called 1-2-3 Jell-O or Jell-O 1-2-3?
I don't remember it off the top of my head, to be totally honest.
This was made by the Jell-O gelatin people.
I kind of guessed.
You would make it. It was almost like a chemistry experiment, like the most delicious chemistry experiment ever. You would mix this formula in a glass. Mm-hmm. You put it in your refrigerator. And then, like 2 hours later, you would have 3 different kinds of Jell-O. A traditional Jell-O, a foamy Jell-O.
Oh, I had that. Yes, yes.
Like a sparkly Jell-O. It was like a parfait. I don't know how they did. It was magic.
I just remember being a little kid enjoying it. I used to call it Menage a Jell-O.
Menage a Jell-O. Yeah, you could call it that. You people would look strange at you if you call it. But so what? You're enjoying it. All right. So as soon as I had this, I said, This is something they should make forever.
Yes, this is all I want.
Stopped the next day. They said, Bill likes it. We're not going to make it anymore.
Hope you didn't take it personally.
To further tease me, Harry, a few short years ago, the Jell-O people brought it back, and I went, this is what heaven is like.
Did you hear angels?
I heard, yes, harps and angels.
Mike Trout
was there, got a couple of hits. Then they stopped making it again because I got excited, so they said, we'll stop making it. So from time to time, there are things like that. Here's another one, quick one. Chicken Littles. Are you familiar with Chicken Littles?
Yes.
You would go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and it was like a White Castle. It was the size of a White Castle hamburger, but you had chicken inside. It was great. They stopped making it. They brought it back for a little while, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't as good. They changed the recipe. Not as good. All right. So the ones I'm telling you are all positive ones.
Yeah.
Lime Starbursts is another one.
I don't have Lime Starbursts.
They don't make them anymore.
I wish they'd gotten rid of the lemon ones. Yellow Starburst bite.
The orange one should go away because they taste like kids' aspirin.
No. Hold on. Now you're in my wheelhouse, Lef.
Go on.
Orange Sweet Tarts taste like baby aspirin.
Yes, they do.
Okay? Orange Starbursts are a delicacy.
Harry, they taste like aspirin.
I agree with Bill, and the strawberry ones need to go, too.
The strawberry ones are borderline.
The strawberry ones, they're creating an entire campaign now of just strawberry Starbursts.
Right.
Well, first of all, if I were given a Starburst, it wouldn't be my first choice.
You would go with which flavor, Kim?
If I had to eat a Starburst?
If you had to eat one.
Oh,
probably cherry.
Can I recommend to you the tropical blend flavors of Starburst?
Oh,
the watermelon is outstanding.
Yeah, well, don't forget to try the steak and Malibu chicken. You guys are nuts. Strawberry Starbursts are spectacular.
See, I'd rather have a now and later.
Yeah, that's a good time.
Yeah, how much do you suck of that right away and how much do you save for later?
Harry, you can't eat it all at once.
Eat
it's
some
a now,
now
and later.
Save some for later.
That's how you do it. You budget your time with the now and laters. That's how it's done.
It's easier said. In theory, the now and later works.
When we were in England, they still had Lime Starbursts, and I applied for dual citizenship because I said, this country knows what they're doing. They still have the Lime Starbursts.
I enjoyed some British Starbursts when
they
I
were
was
good.
Over there, yes.
The chutney, not so good.
No.
The chutney-flavored Starburst, a little chewy.
The fish and chip Starburst.
I didn't like
those. Or the scone and clotted cream.
Those were okay. Those took some getting used to, but those were okay. All right. So the reason I bring all this up in the longest setup in the history of radio is last night as I'm doing some grocery shopping at Jewel, I go down an aisle and I see a display for a product that I said to myself, who in their right mind would ever want this back? This is the kind of thing that when it was originally out, everyone I know who tried it had the same reaction and it went something like this. Bleh! Every single person that I know
New Coke.
Who tried this, no, it's not New Coke, but that's a fantastic
guess. That's a good one.
That's a great guess because Coke had it. I mean, Coke figured out how to make the perfect soft drink, and then they said, we don't need that. We'll make it not as good and see if people enjoy it, and it
we'll,
wasn't.
We'll take out that annoying flavor.
Right. We don't need... If we're going to sell you a product, flavor's not the kind of thing we're going to push on you. Yeah. We'll make it the same color as the old stuff. Mm-hmm. No, that boy, Harry, what an impressive guess, but not correct. Let's do this. We must take a quick break. When we come back, I will tell you what the product is, and you can try to explain to me who in their right mind decided we needed it again. All right? That's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. All right, it's me, Bill. It's him, Harry. Wendy's off today. She'll return on Tuesday. She and I will both be back on Tuesday. Monday's a holiday. Hope everybody has a great holiday. All right, really, really quickly. Last night, I'm in Jewel, or the Jewels, as some people here in Chicagoland like to refer to it, the Jewels. And I'm moving my cart up and down the aisle, because that's the way I do things, Harry.
Crazy. Trendsetter.
I see a display for a product from the long ago, a product from days gone by that I thought was one of the worst products of all time. And when they stopped making it, I cheered. I did a little cheer. I had pom-poms, did a little dance.
Chesterfield cigarettes.
Stop making it. It's not Chesterfield cigarettes. Harry, I took a picture of this product, and I would like you, I'm going to hand you this because it hurts me to even say the name.
Okay, let's see what it is.
This is what's coming back. Please read this to the class.
Zima
is coming. It's not just coming back. Zima is back, and it's in your store waiting for you to walk past it.
We used to say Zima sucks.
You're accurate. For people who have never had Zima, let me quickly describe the flavor. Harry, tell me if I'm wrong. It's like drinking unleaded gasoline and spit at the same time.
It is. Only the difference is that eventually that taste will go away.
Yes. Zima permeates for a long, long time. Here's a little backstory, and I know you'll appreciate this. At the Funny Bone in Naperville many, many years ago.
May it rest in peace.
May it rest in peace. A second of silence. A drink distributor who sold alcohol to the comedy club, to the Funny Bone in Naperville, brought in a new drink for everyone who worked there to try. They gave us each a sample cup of it. We all drank it. We all made faces going, were we bad? Are we being punished? Why would you give us this? What's wrong with you? They said, we're just curious what you all think of it. There were 11 people in the room. The best comment was, I've had worse. That was the person who said that they could kind of tolerate Zima. The rest of us begged them. They said, please, stop making this. Whatever you're doing, you must stop now. People are going to be hurt by this product. They made it anyway. Zima came out about 6 or 7 months later. I don't understand it.
It ain't good.
No, it ain't good.
If they're going to bring something back, if they're going to bring anything back.
Yes.
Nestle's, you know, I like chocolate a little bit.
Yes.
Nestle's, do you remember Nestle's candy bar, the same shape as like a Nestle's Crunch?
Mm-hmm.
It was three layers in one, three candy bars in one. You got a layer of milk chocolate, layer of white chocolate, a layer of chocolate, dark chocolate. Nestle's triple decker bar.
Oh, I remember those.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
they
were out of this world. They were so darn good.
Why does the triple decker bar not get the same attention as Drek like Zima? Nobody wants Zima to come back. Nobody.
No. If they're a god?
This will determine.
Yes.
This will. We will find out.
I need to find out before Rosh Hashanah.
Sharon.
Triple decker bars are back by Rosh Hashanah. There's a god.
Then everything's good.
Yeah.
Sharon, thank you for calling. Harry's a little upset. I'm okay. I'm trying my best to be okay. You have a solution for me for Jell-O 1-2-3. Is that possible?
I do. It's a little extra effort on your part.
I don't care. I just want Jell-O 1-2-3. How do I do it?
When you're making your Jell-O, instead of adding the cold water, add the equivalent amount of vanilla ice cream, mix it all up, and stick it in the fridge, and you'll have your Jell-O 1-2-3.
That's all I need to do? Why didn't I know this?
I don't know. You're not in my family. It's a family tradition.
Oh, wait. Well, before you say that.
Yeah, we got a surprise for you. All right. So go back in time with me, Sharon. I don't know how old you are. It's none of my business. But back when Jell-O 1-2-3 first came out, were you a fan of it? Did you have it back then?
I remember it, but I don't.
Faintly. All right.
Yeah.
So somebody
in your little bit younger than you, but not a whole lot.
But somebody in your family figured out, somebody who did have it and liked it, and they stopped making it. Figured out we have to take matters in our own hands and make it ourselves.
It was
my aunt was the Jell-O queen.
Oh,
so.
She was my favorite character in the rock opera Tommy. Jell-O 1-2-3 was brought into this world in 1969, and it was taken out in 1996.
No, but it wasn't there continuously. There was a long, long, long period of time where you couldn't get it.
Just looking at these pictures, I want to have it
now.
Oh,
it's so good. It's so good. Sharon, you've saved the universe.
It's just one of my services, Bill. I'm happy to do it.
You're very kind. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Love you guys.
Thank you. Dang,
it looks kind of like a Mai Tai.
Yeah, it has that kind of a cocktail-y feel to it.
Yeah, like the the way that it's like red on the bottom, but like a bubbly red on the top.
Whatever flavor you made, because they had they had a lime, they had an orange, a strawberry. I'm trying to remember if there was a fourth one, but I do remember lime, orange, and strawberry. So the color scheme was variations on whatever color, like lime, of course, is green. So you had a medium-sized green, then a dark green, then a light green, a festive to look at, delicious to eat, and nothing but good for you. You'd live 150 years just eating nothing but 1-2-3 Jell-O.
What if I hit this button that says Jell-O 1-2-3 coming back?
You're messing with me.
I'm not
messing
with you.
There's no way. There's no way.
Oh, look at this.
Now, if you are going to bring that back, if you're bringing back Jell-O 1-2-3...
Bring back the triple-decker bar!
You got to bring back the triple-decker bar. You also have to bring back marathon bars.
Can I make a request, then?
Please, Kim, yes.
Vanilla Crunch.
Wait, is that a cereal?
Yes.
I kind of
like
remember
Captain
that.
Captain Crunch, but it was vanilla.
Yes. There was a time where Captain Crunch had five different variations, and that was one of the
peanut
five.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter one. One that was all crunch berries. I know that sounds like I'm dreaming it. That's real.
Still available.
You can still get all crunch berries?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good stuff. There was a cinnamon crunch, right?
Yes.
Am I missing one? I think that might be. The vanilla one was outstanding.
The one that kids like today, meth crunch?
No, I don't think that's not good for kids.
They give it to you free the first time.
It's not good for kids at all. All right, so if you're bringing back Jell-O 1-2-3, you also want to bring back Shake-A-Puddin'.
Shake-A-Puddin'. Whip and chill.
Whip and chill. Totally forgot about Whip
Kim,
and Chill.
Kim, remember Whip and Chill?
I do remember Whip and Chill.
That was a good time, the Whip and Chill.
Oh, yeah.
Todd has a suggestion
for
us.
We got a party going.
Now we do. Todd, how are you?
Good. How's it going, guys?
We're excellent. What is the product that needs to be brought back, sir?
The PDQ, remember that little crunch stuff you used to put on your ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, was that good? How long ago do you think they stopped making that, Todd? When did they stop making that?
I can't remember. Back in maybe the 80s.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Oh, go on.
I want to say hi to Harry. Harry, this is Todd. You're the best man at my wedding.
Oh, Todd, you're the guy that got married on the Cochran show, and we held your wedding in the pool at the Sybaris.
Yep.
Really?
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. Are you guys still together?
Absolutely.
Well, they say when Cochran marries you...
It's forever.
It's forever.
It is forever. Yep.
Have you been back to the Sybaris?
I think it's from the bathing suit you wore in the pool, Harry. That's what put us over the top.
Have you been back to the Sybaris since the wedding?
Yeah, thank God, no.
You weren't kidding? It was at the Sybaris?
They got married.
On Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's romantic.
I don't want to tell you what Bonaducci did that year.
No.
But they got married. It was great because they loved each other. Bonnie Hunt's mom and sister were there. And wow. Cochran, I'm pretty sure, did the ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was the best man. It was like a real wedding, but it just took place in the sex pool at the Sybaris.
You make it sound so dirty when you say it that way, Harry. There's no reason for that. Todd, congrats, and thanks for calling in. Take care.
Todd, great to hear from you. Keep listening.
So you were the best man at his wedding.
Yes.
You were also the best man at my wedding.
I was.
And I don't know what Kim Gordon was thinking when they didn't ask you, when Stuart didn't ask you to be his best man. I don't understand that.
Well, Stuart did ask me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He turned him
down.
He
didn't want to come to Kentucky.
I love Kentucky, by the way. Where were you married in Kentucky? Where
Louisville.
Are you from? Louisville.
Yes.
Horses nearby, Harry. Next
urban,
time.
Yeah. Women.
Yep.
Bucket list. Kentucky. If you've never been in the Kentucky Derby, you've missed out.
That's a good
go
time.
To the Kentucky Derby.
For sure.
Let's do this. We must take a quick break.
Uh-huh.
And then you and I are headed toward the stream. One more hour of this sort of behavior.
We got to take the elevator to the 7th floor?
No. We're in the same building. We're right where we need to be.
Oh, okay.
Harry and I will be at the stream, or you can listen to Steve Bertrand. He's got the business lunch. We'll talk to him next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.